الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First and foremost, to all those attending, Afwan, forgive us for the late start as occurs here. Unfortunately, we had a slight hitch in with the technical side on the sister side, but now, inshallah, I'm sure that we're coming through loud and clear. Before the shuyukh start and commence the seminar, we thought it prudent to just explain a little bit about what we are doing, why we are doing it, inshallah ta'ala. As you know, Brixton has brought this fifth seminar, Dawa seminar, Return to Ilm 5. And it's not just a seminar where we can come together, feel good about ourselves and such like. This is a seminar whereby we want the brothers and the sisters, those firm and established in the Dawah to Salafia, those new to the Dawah to Salafia, to taste again the fruit of knowledge from those possessing that knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. So for this reason, we are putting this together and explaining this reason for having this fifth seminar. The efforts were great in bringing this seminar, oh brothers and sisters, and so we would ask, as we usually ask, for your contribution, both financially, both with yourself, human resources as well, in assisting and contributing towards this conference and future seminars, inshallah. The last four we know were successful, inshallah. This one, again, will be successful. So we will ask, my request to you, O Muslim, is a small one, that each day of this seminar, because we have to continue raising the funds for further seminars, that each one of you just put £1 a day, that would be £3, into the collection box. And for the sisters as well, if you want to give more, jazakum Allah khair. But we ask you to do that so we can continue with the programs that we are bringing to the community, both local and wide. So remember this over this weekend, O Muslims, and inshallah, the reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce someone who's known to us all by now, without doubt, Sheikh Ali Hassan. And the seminar will commence with the first talk being The Rope of Allah. Jazakum Allah khair for your time, Ikhwan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، فإن الاعتصام بكتاب الله سبحانه وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو سبيل النجاة وهو طريق الرشد والهداية، وهو الباب الذي من دخله كان آمنا مؤمنا، مؤمنا في دنياه آمنا في أخراه. ذلكم أن الله عز وجل يقول: ومن يعتصم بالله فقد هدي إلى صراط مستقيم. ونحن المسلمين في كل ركعة من ركعات صلاتنا، سواء كانت في الليل أم في النهار، في السر أم في الجهر، كل ذلك ونحن نطلب من ربنا جل وعلا أن يهدينا صراطه المستقيم، قائلين في سورة الفاتحة: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. وها هو ذا طريق الهداية وطريق الرشد، متمثلا بالاعتصام الذي ذكرنا قول الله عز وجل فيه: ومن يعتصم بالله فقد هدي إلى صراط مستقيم. والله عز وجل يقول: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. فالاعتصام هو مواقعة العصمة والتلبس بأسبابها، وليست العصمة ها هنا، هي العصمة التي يمنحها الله للأنبياء، وإنما هي العصمة التي تمنع صاحبها من التلبس بالمنكر ومن مخالفة الهدي المرسل من الله عز وجل أو من رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
Verily, all praise is for Allah, Lord of all the world. We seek His help and His aid, and we seek refuge from Allah from the evil of our own actions and the evil of our own selves. Whomsoever Allah misguides, there is none to guide, and whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to misguide. Verily, the most truthful of speech is the Book of Allah, the Quran, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of matters are the innovated matters, the newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is astray, and everything that is astray leads to the hellfire. To proceed, then verily, clinging to the Book and the Sunnah, clinging and holding fast to the Book and the Sunnah is the only path of guidance and salvation. It is the path of uprightness and guidance. It is the door which whoever enters it shall have peace and safety. He shall be a believer in this world and have safety in the hereafter. And so whoever clings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily he has taken the path of guidance, the upright path of guidance. The same path that we, in every rak'ah, in every prayer that we pray, whether it be the silent prayer or the prayer that we read loudly, whether we read at night time or in the daytime, it's that same path that we're seeking Allah to guide us towards, the straight path. When we say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, that we plead to Allah to guide us to the straight path. This is the path of guidance, which is what we mean by clinging on to Allah and His Book and His Sunnah. And then the Shaykh mentioned a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and hold fast the rope of Allah all together and do not be divided. And this holding fast, or this isma, which is a kind of safety, it's a kind of innocence that you'll be upon the correct path, is not the innocence of the Prophet. Rather, it's the innocence, or it's the safety from falling into deviation and falling into following other than the path of truth and guidance.
وبالتالي أيها الإخوة في الله، فإن قول الله سبحانه وتعالى واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا يدل على أمور ثلاثة، كل منها أصل قائم بذاته وتقوم عليه الشخصية الإسلامية التي يريدها الله عز وجل من عباده ويهدي لها وبها من شاء من عباده سبحانه وتعالى. أما أول ذلك فالاستقامة على الهدى، إذ إن الاعتصام في معناه ودلالته هو الاستقامة على الهدى، والمسلم مأمور بالاستقامة كما ذكرنا في دعائنا في صلاتنا قائلين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، والله عز وجل يقول واستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك. فالاعتصام هو سبيل الاستقامة، ذلكم أن كل انحراف عن هذا الاعتصام سبيل يبعدك عن صراط الله ويبعدك عن الإقامة على الاستقامة التي فيها هدايتك وفيها فلاحك وصلاحك. أما الأمر الثاني فهو الالتزام بأحكام الشرع، ذلكم أن حبل الله هو كتابه وسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم، والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول تركتكم على مثل البيضاء نقية ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام تركت فيكم أمرين ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا، كتاب الله وسنتي. فالكتاب والسنة هما حبل الله المتين الذي أمر أن يعتصم به صلحاء المؤمنين وخلص المسلمين المستجيبين لأمر رب العالمين. ذلكم أن السنة وحي كما القرآن وحي، فالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول ألا إني أوتيت القرآن ومثله معه، ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام ألا إنما حرم رسول الله كمثل ما حرم الله. فحبل الله وصلته التي يصل بها عبادة هي الكتاب والسنة، وهي ذاتها الوسيلة التي تجعل عباده مستجيبين لأمره ملتزمين بهديه، كما قال عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. فلا تكون الحياة هي الحياة الحقة إلا بالاستجابة لله ولرسوله، ولا تكون ثمة استجابة حقة إلا إذا كان هنالك اعتصام بهذا الحبل المتين والتزام بهذا الشرع المبين. وأما الأمر الثالث فهو اجتناب الفرقة، حيث إن الفرقة ليست من صفات أهل الهدى ولا أهل الإيمان، والله عز وجل يقول ولا تكونوا من المشركين، من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعة، وفي قراءة أخرى من الذين فارقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعة. فالفرقة في الدين والتفرق عن شريعة رب العالمين سبيل يجعل المواقع له مفارقا للدين وبعيدا عن أن يكون من أهله أو من حملته، فضلا عن أن يكون من دعاته. والله عز وجل يقول أيضا: ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم. ذلكم أن التنازع سبب للفشل، فإذا وجد الفشل لم يبقى لأهل الحق أثر، ولم يستقم لهم سبب ولا وجود، وما هذا إلا بسبب تنازعهم وتفرقهم.
The Shaykh went on to say that this ayah that he mentioned, which is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hold fast to the rope of Allah all together and do not be divided amongst yourselves, this noble ayah incorporates three issues, or the three things that we should note from this ayah, all of which are principles, great principles in their own right in the Sharia. And it is based upon this that a person, a believer's personality, Islamic personality, is intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be rightly guided by it and be upon this path. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for his servant. The first of these points or principles is to be upright upon guidance and to cling fast upon this guidance. For this is what clinging fast means. So when this word al-ihtisam means holding on tightly and being upright. And every believer and every Muslim is required to be upright and to hold fast upon his religion. Just as we say in all of our prayers, we make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: O Allah, guide us to the straight path, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. So this is a plea to Allah to help us be upright upon this path and to remain firm upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and be upright as you have been ordered to. And so holding fast the rope of Allah is the way and is the path of being upright. And every deviation is the path that leads you further and further away from this straight path and further away from being upright. The second point the Shaykh wanted to mention that we can extract from this ayah is that we should cling strongly to the rulings of the Sharia. For verily this habal or this rope is in fact the Kitab, the Quran, and the Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have left you upon a clear white path. Its day is like its night, and no one leaves this path except that he is destroyed. And the Prophet ﷺ also said, I have left behind you two things, and if you hold on to them, you will never go astray: the Kitab, the Quran, and my Sunnah. So these two, the Quran and the Sunnah, are what is intended by the ayah which is regard to the Hablullah, the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we are supposed to cling on to firmly. This is what the righteous Muslims and the sincere Muslims have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cling on to: the Quran and the Sunnah. And so the Sunnah is also revelation, just as the Quran is revelation. This is proved by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he says, verily, I have been given two things. I have been given the Quran and something similar to it, meaning the Sunnah. Again, the hadith says, verily, I have been given the Quran and something similar to it, meaning the Sunnah. So this proves that the Sunnah is also revelation, just as the Quran is also revelation. The Prophet ﷺ also said in an authentic hadith that, verily, that which the Prophet has made haram is that like what Allah has made haram. So the rope of Allah is this connection, is this link that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this link that Allah's servants have with their Creator. And this is the straight path. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. So one cannot truly be alive in reality, unless he responds to Allah and His Messenger, responds to their call, responds to their message, and believes in it. The third point, or the third principle that we can extract from this ayah, is that we should abstain from splitting up and dispute. For verily, this is not from the characteristics of the believers, and this is not the characteristics of the people of guidance, nor the people of iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not be like the mushrikeen who split up their religion into different groups and parties. And another reading of this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not be like the mushrikeen who left their religion because of their splitting up. So this point, the Sheikh mentioned was that this splitting up or differing can actually lead to someone leaving the religion altogether. And it takes a person away from the people of iman, and it's not for a Muslim to fall into disputes and differing, not to mention the people who are calling to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, it says in the Quran, do not dispute and differ, so you become weak, and your power goes away. So this weakness results in the people of knowledge having no effect upon the Muslims and at large.
وهذا كله يجعلنا نبحث بتأمل وتدبر وتفكر حول الأسباب الحقيقية التي توصل المتنازعين إلى ما هم فيه وتوقعهم بمخالفة أوامر الله التي هي بعد كبير وساحق عن الاعتصام بحبل الله تعالى. أما ولذلك فهو الجهل بأحكام الله، فإن الإنسان بقدر ما يجهل أحكام الله، بقدر ما يخالفه، وبقدر ما يكون منه علم وله معرفة بأحكام الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، بقدر ما يكون عبدا مخلصا قلبه لله وخالصا عمله لله. أما الجاهل فإنه يخبط خبط عشواء ليكون كحاطب الليل، يأخذ الأفعى يظنها حبلا أو يظنها حطبا، فلا يعرف ما هو فيه من تحليل الحلال وتحريم الحرام واتباع البين وترك المتشابه والالتزام بالهدي المنقول عن خلفاء الرسول صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه، وهم أهل العلم الذين قال فيه النبي الإسلام عليه الصلاة والسلام العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. فترى هؤلاء لا يقيمون للعلماء وزنا ولا يرفعون لهم رأسا، بل تراهم يغمزونهم ويطعمون بهم ويتكلمون فيهم ولا يأبهن لهم. فهذا العالم عندهم يسمى عالم حيض ونفاس، وذلك العالم يسمى عندهم عميلا، وذلك العالم الثالث يسمى عندهم جاهلا بفقه الواقع، وهذا الرابع وذاك الخامس، كل ذلك تحطيبا للعلماء أو كل ذلك بمثابة التحطيب والتحطيم للعلماء حتى لا يبقى في قلوب الشباب من يقدرونهم ومن يحترمونهم، وحينئذ لا يبقى إلا تلك الرؤوس الجهلة التي لا تدري ولا تعلم، فإن دريت وعلمت فإن علمها يكون منقوصا، فإن علمها يكون ساقطا، لأنها لم تبني على قال الله قال رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام، فيحدث بذلك الشقاق والنزاع والافتراق والبعد عن الاعتصام بحبل الله تعالى.
Sheikh then went on to mention that the next point of research should be to try and ponder and reflect and pay attention to the reasons and the causes, the true reasons and causes that cause us, that cause us to be split up and to be divided, and make us fall into disagreement with the Kitab, with orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make us fall short of holding fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first of those reasons which the Shaykh mentioned is being ignorant about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rulings, about the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So verily, a person will fall short, will be deviated from the truth in relation to his ignorance of the rules and regulations about the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ignorant one is like the one who goes out at the night time seeking firewood and picks up anything that comes his way. He may pick up things that are of no good to him, which are no benefit to him for kindling his fire. This is like the ignorant person. This is the similitude of the ignorant person, like the person who goes out looking for firewood and picks up anything that comes in his way. He doesn't know what is halal and what is haram. He doesn't know how to follow the correct path. He doesn't know how to be obedient to his Lord, and thereby falling into the unclear matters. He does not hold fast to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor does he follow the guidance of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the four Khalifs. nor does he follow the path of the people of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet. So these people, they do not know who the scholars are, nor do they give them their correct position in society. Rather, you see them remarking at them, slandering them, calling them names. So they say about this scholar, that this person, this alim, they say that he is a scholar of only, all he knows about is of the rules regarding menstruation and about when a woman gives birth. Basically, he has no knowledge about anything else. Or this person, this other scholar, all he is working for the government. He's a government agent, if you like. Or they throw at the other scholar and say, this third scholar, he has no understanding of current affairs, current issues. All of this is to try and diminish and to destroy our scholars, and so that there doesn't remain anyone for the youth to look to for guidance except these ignorant people. So this ignorance, being ignorant about the religion, not knowing who the scholars are, this leads to falling apart, leads to splitting up and differences, and takes us far and far away from clinging to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clinging to the rope of Allah.
أما السبب الثاني أيها الإخوة في الله فهو وجود الأمراض في النفوس والأدواء في القلوب من حسد وكبر وتجبر وحقد بين الناس، فمن مقل أو مستكثر، فمن قائم به من هذه الأمراض كم كبير، ومن متلبس بهذه الأمراض بشيء منها يسير، ومن بين هذا وذاك. فإذا كان القلب مريضا فهل تنتظرون أن تكون الأعمال سليمة؟ وإذا كان القلب مستحكما فيه أدواء وأوبئة، هل من المنتظر أن يكون ثمة شفاء بما ستنطلق به جوارحه؟ لا والله. واسمعوا ماذا يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلح صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد القلب كله، فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. إن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، بأعماله، بكلامه، بأخذه وعطائه، بولائه وبرائه، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، بكذبه، بمشيه إلى الباطل، بسعيه في الضلال، بتحركاته نحو الفرقة والافتراق والتشتت والتنازع. فالقلب أساس، إذا استقام استقامت به الجوارح، وإذا انحرف واعوج تابعته الجوارح انحرافا وعوجاجا، وبالتالي بعدا عن الاستقامة التي يسأل العبد ربه أن يهديه إياها في اليوم مرات ومرات.
The Sheikh mentioned the second point that leads to falling short or being far away from clinging to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet strongly is the presence of illnesses and sicknesses in people's souls and people's hearts. Sicknesses such as envy and jealousy, pride and arrogance between the people. So there are people that may have these qualities in a large portion, and there may be people that have some of these qualities in a lesser portion, and there may be people in between that too. So it's these sicknesses that make the person, make the truth confused. And so if this heart is ill and sick, then how can the actions be correct, and how can the actions be safe? If this heart has weakness in it and ailments, then what are we waiting for? How can we wait for the actions to be correct? How can we wait for there to be any kind of cure? Verily, the Prophet ﷺ said that in the body there is a flesh or part of the body. If it is made correct, then the whole of the body is correct. And if it is corrupted, then the whole of the body is corrupted. Verily, this portion of the body is the heart. So verily, the correction or the correctness of one's body is based upon the correctness of the heart. So if this heart is correct, then the body is also correct. And therefore, the actions will also be correct. The speech will also be correct. his giving and his taking will also be correct. His wala, his allegiance, and his disassociation, his bara'ah, will also be correct. However, if his heart is corrupted and has his illnesses inside them and diseases, then his whole body will be corrupt. So he will be involved in lying, and he'll walk towards evil and falsehood and misguidance. He will race towards splitting and argumentation, leading to confusion. So verily, the heart is the asaf, is the foundation. And if it is made upright and it becomes upright and clean, then the rest of the body will be upright. But if it is if there is some kind of difficulty or illness in the heart, then this difficulty and illness will also come into the body and the limbs. So therefore, we should know that being far away from being upright and clinging fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly linked to a person's heart. So this that we're asking for every day in our prayers, us to be upright, is based upon, we should also think and look towards being upright and cleaning our hearts from all of these sins and diseases.
أما الأمر الثالث فهو غياب النصيحة الحقة التي تمثل روح الأخوة الإسلامية والتي هي بمثابة الأساس والأصل الذي تقوم به العلاقات بين المسلمين. بل إن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال: الدين النصيحة، فجعل النصيحة من أعظم علامات الدين ومن أوثق عرى اليقين الذي إذا وجد في القلوب كان ذلك علامة على صلاحها وأمارة على استقامتها. وفي حديث جرير بن عبد الله البجلي المروي في الصحيح أنه قال: بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أو بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على السمع والطاعة وعلى النصح لكل مسلم. قال: وكان يلقننا فيما استطعت، أي ما استطعت أيها المسلم إلى النصح سبيلا تقدمه لإخوانك، أو طريقا تذلله لأصحابك حتى يكون نورا ساريا في قلبك ومنعكسا على جوارحك تشعر به وفيه ومنه بحقيقة الأخوة في الله التي قال فيها رب العالمين: إنما المؤمنون إخوة، والتي قال فيها رسوله الأمين صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم أخو المسلم، وكما قال فيها عليه الصلاة والسلام: المؤمن أخو المؤمن. فغياب النصيحة يجعل هنالك جذورا من الفرقة بين الإخوة، ووديانا من الشقة بين المسلمين. فحينئذ إذا أراد الواحد أن يقدم لأخيه كلمة يحسب أنه لن يقبلها منه، وإذا أراد أن يرى أخيه ليستفيد منه نصحا أو يوجه إليه خيرا تحسب له ألف حساب. لماذا؟ والمؤمن كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مرآة المؤمن. لكن غياب النصيحة كقاعدة وأساس يجعل هذا الأمر من السوء منشورا بين الناس.
Shaykh went on to mention the third reason that causes us to be far away from clinging to the rope of Allah and to be upright, and that was the absence of sincere advice. This advice, which is the life of brotherhood between the Islamic Brotherhood, it is a general principle and a foundation of Islam, which embodies the relationship between Muslims advising one another. The Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith that verily this religion is sincere advice. So the Prophet ﷺ made this nasiha one of the greatest the greatest signs of this religion and the strongest of bonds of this religion, giving one another advice. So this is the way that the heart can receive their correction, and it is the sign of being upright that we give advice to one another. In a hadith, the Shaykh mentioned the hadith where the Sahabi, he mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ made bay'ah to us, and another narration, the hadith says that we made bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ upon obedience and hearing and obeying, basically. And that we should give nasiha, we should give good advice to every Muslim as much as we are able to. The Prophet, Allah SWT says in the Quran, verily the believers are brothers. And the Prophet SWT said in the hadith, authentic hadith, that a Muslim is the brother of his Muslim, and the believer is the brother of his believer. So the absence of correct nasiha, or the absence of advising a brother, this will lead to eventually splitting up and hatred between the Muslims. And so if a person wants to advise someone, he has to think. He has to take himself to account. Will this person accept his nasiha or not? He stops and ponders. And sometimes he may stop and make 1,000 excuses not giving the nasiha. But really, we should give nasiha, and the absence of this nasiha is what leads to this evil condition that we're in.
وأما السبب الرابع وهو في الحقيقة ناتج عن تراكم الأسباب السابقة كلها، فالجهل يوقع صاحبه بأمراض النفوس، وأمراض النفوس تجعل صاحبها مستعليا بالباطل، متعاليا بغير الحق، فحينئذ تغيب النصيحة الحقة التي هي كالنور بين المسلمين. فماذا ترون ينتج عن الجهل وأمراض النفوس وغياب النصيحة؟ ينتج عن ذلك داء هو بنفسه داء عظيم، وهو الحزبية التي تقتل روح الإسلام الحقيقية في النفوس، الحزبية التي لا تقوم آصرة العلاقة بين أصحابها على نور من كتاب أو ضياء من سنة، الحزبية التي تقدم من حقه التأخير وتؤخر من حقه التقديم، الحزبية التي تتلون عيون أصحابها بألوان زعمائهم وكبرائهم، فلا يرون إلا ما يرون، ولا ينظرون إلا ما إليه ينظرون. والله عز وجل جعل التحزب من علامات البعد عن الهدى، وبكت ونعى على أصحابه وأهله قائلا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون، إشارة منه جل وعلا إلى أن هذا التحزب وهذه الحزبية تورث ذلكم التنازع وذلكم التفرق الذي نهى عنه ربنا الرحمن، ويفرح به عدونا الشيطان لأنه ما أنزل الله به من سلطان.
The fourth point the Sheikh mentioned is actually a combination of all of the three previous points. So as you mentioned, ignorance, it leads towards the disease of the heart, the disease of the soul. And the disease of the soul, it leads towards the person being arrogant upon falsehood, and refusingly arrogantly the truth. And this also leads towards a person, or leads to the absence of correct and sincere advice upon the truth, which is in fact the light that holds light between the believers. This nasiha is like the light of the believers. So what will be the result of this all of these ailments when they come together? Ignorance and the disease of the soul and the heart and the absence of correct and sincere advice. The result is a great illness in itself. It is the ignorance of partisanship, which is something that Islam and the spirit of Islam can never ever accept. This hizbiyah, or this partisan spirit, or sectarianism, is not based upon any light from Allah or from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This sectarianism results in people being put forward who should really be put at the back, and people being pushed at the back who should really be at the forefront. This hizbiyah blinds people, and it makes them only see the people who are involved in this type of sectarianism. It makes them only see through their own eyes. They can only see their own people. They can only see them a sign of being far and far away from true guidance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, condemning those people, every group who are happy in their group that they are upon. Almost like a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this type of sectarianism leads towards dispute and splitting up and turning away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. Rather, it pleases shaitan, our enemy, because it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not prescribed in this religion.
فهذه الأسباب الأربعة أيها الإخوة في الله هي من أهم أسباب التنازع والبعد عن الاعتصام بحبل الله الذي فيه النجاة وفيه الهدى وفيه الأمن والأمان والإيمان، وفيه البعد عن سلوك طريق الشيطان حتى ينجو العبد من هذا كله، كثيره وقليله، جليله وحقيره. وقد يكون هنالك أيها الإخوة في الله أسباب أخرى، لكن هذه أهمها وهي أساسها، وما قد يكون زيادة عليها فهو راجع إليها. وأما النجاة منها فبسلوك أضدادها وبالرجوع عن سوآتها، فيقابل الجهل العلم، فبالعلم ينجو قلبك وينزو عقلك ويستنير لبك وتعرف حق الله عليك وحقك على إخوانك. ولكن هذا العلم ينبغي أن يكون هو العلم الصحيح الموافق للنظر الرجيح الذي يكون مبنيا على كتاب الله وسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى نهج سلف الأمة الصالحين. ومع هذا فإن ثمرة العلم وتمامه وكماله إنما تكون باستمرار التواصل بين طالب العلم ومشايخه من العلماء وكبرائه من أهل العلم أو إخوانه ممن يقدرهم من طلاب العلم الداعين إلى الله على بصيرة. فهو بهذا ينجو من غوائل العلم وينجو مما قد يعلق به من سلبيات وينجو مما قد يكون سببا له في أن يستكبر بما أوتي به من علم أو أن يتفرد بما أوتي إياه من معرفة. ورحم الله من قال من أهل العلم: من دخل العلم وحده خرج منه وحده، ذلك أنه لم يجد ما يسدده ولم يجد ما يثبته ولم يجد من يقيم قاعدته على أساس الهدى. وأيضا فإن التزكية التي هي من أسس بعثة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كما قال الله تعالى يتلو في وصفه عليه الصلاة والسلام: يتلو عليهم آياته ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم. فالتزكية هي طهارة النفوس ودواء القلوب وشفاء الأفئدة من كل ما قد يصيبها أو من كل ما أصابها من أمراض وأوبئة، من حسد وغيظ، من حقد وكبر، من عجب واستعلاء. فحينئذ ترجع النفوس إلى ما كان فيها من صفاء وما كانت فيه من طهر ونقاء. أما الأمر الثالث فهو التواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر، فبوجوده تغيب أو ترجع قاعدة النصيحة الحقة، فإنه لا يكون التواصي الأمر المطلوب والشأن المرغوب إلا إذا كان مبنيا على قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه من الخير. وحينئذ يقدم له النصيحة الخالصة الصادقة ويتواصى إياه بالحق المبني على كتاب الله وسنة رسوله، ويتواصى إياه بالصبر على هذا الحق الذي ينفر منه كثير من الناس ويبتعد منه أصناف وألوان وأجناس، وما ذلك إلا لأنهم لا يرفعون رؤوسهم للسماء ولا يتوجهون بصدق قلوبهم إلى من في السماء مستغيثين به مبتهلين إليه أن يجدد الإيمان في قلوبهم وأن يجعلهم وإخوانهم على قلب رجل واحد صدقا ومحبة وثباتا واستقامة. هذا هو التواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر الذي ينتج عنه الخير ويرجع لصاحبه فيه الأجر. أما الثالث فإن تلكم الحزبية المقيتة المميتة السوداء القاتمة لا تزول من بيننا ولا تذهب من نفوسنا إلا إذا أقمنا في أنفسنا قول ربنا وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان، فيكون التعاون بيننا مبنيا على الحب في الله والبغض في الله والعطاء لله والمنع لله، الذي يقول فيه رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أحب لله وكره لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: أوثق عرى الإيمان أن تحب في الله، أو الحب في الله والبغض في الله. بينما نجد من أنفسنا اليوم أن هذه الأصول وهذه الأسس لم تعد قائمة فينا ولم تعد موجودة في قلوبنا وعقولنا إلا من رحم الله. فإن وجدت الحب فتجده حبا حزبيا أو حبا مبنيا على لون أو لغة أو هوى في النفوس أو رأي في العقول، لا تجده ذلك الحب الذي يريد الله من عباده والذي دعا الناس إليه رسوله وخيرته من خلقه صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. بهذا يكون الاعتصام الحق، وبهذا يكون الالتزام الصدق، وبهذا نرجع متمسكين بحبل الله كما يريدنا الله، وبهذا تنتفي تلكم السلبيات وهاتيك الظلمات من بين قلوبنا ومن جوانح نفوسنا ومن جوارح أعمالنا، سائلا الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يثبتني وإياكم على الحق والهدى، وأن يجعلنا هداة مهتدين ملتزمين بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله الأمين، وداعين إلى نهج السلف الصالحين إنه سميع مجيب. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
These are the four causes, or the main four causes or reasons why, how disputing and differences can occur amongst us and splitting up, which result in being far away from clinging to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being safe upon guidance and being in a state of peace and safety in the hereafter and upon Iman. And through this we can be saved from following the path of shaitan, and be saved from all of those paths leading to our destruction, whether they be great or whether they be small. And perhaps there are other reasons that may lead towards us falling short of being upright upon the truth, upon being steadfast upon the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they all go back to these four main reasons. So the path of salvation is by returning back away from these evil ailments, returning back to knowledge, which is the opposite of ignorance. So by knowledge, an individual can be saved, his intelligence can be saved, and his heart can be saved. It's a light through upon which he walks, so he knows the truth. He knows the rights of Allah upon him. He knows the rights of Allah's servants upon him. He knows the rights of his brothers upon him. And this knowledge should also be correct knowledge, based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, upon the correct understanding of the Salaf, the pious predecessors. And the fruits of this knowledge and its completion and its perfection will be by continuously helping one another and advising one another upon the truth. It will be by the students of knowledge and the general people always having this constant link with their scholars and with their ulama. If not the scholars and the ulama, then those people who they are regarded as being people of knowledge and understanding, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon truth and upon understanding. This way we can avoid those evil consequences of ignorance. We must make this point very clear. That is, we always must have this link between the scholars. As a famous statement from one of the Salaf, he said, "May Allah have mercy upon him." May Allah have mercy, the Shaykh said, "May Allah have mercy upon the sayer of this statement. Whoever entered into knowledge by himself will come out by himself." Meaning the person who entered into knowledge, not having correct teachers, not referring back to the scholars, who will come out with nothing. So you should have someone, you should return to someone who will guide him, direct him, keep him upright upon the truth. Also the Shaykh mentioned the importance of tazkiyah, which is the purification, which is one of the pillars of all of the Prophet's da'wah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's da'wah, he said that he reads to him from his signs, and in the Quran, and he teaches them the book and the sunnah, the book and the wisdom, and he purifies them. So this purification is how we can remove the ailments of the heart and the sicknesses of the heart. It's by trying to purify ourselves correctly that we can avoid the second cause of us going astray, and that is the sicknesses and the diseases of the heart. By this, we can avoid jealousy, we can avoid being proud and arrogant, we can avoid looking down upon others. And so the soul returns back to its purity and to its cleanness. Also, advising one another upon the truth and being patient upon it. So by this, we're able to reach and follow the truth. And verily, advising one another upon the truth can never be achieved correctly except if it is based upon loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based upon the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of you truly believes until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So true and correct and sincere advice can only be done upon this basis, the basis of loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hating for the sake of Allah. Then also advising and encouraging one another to be patient upon this path which so many of the people have refused to accept. So many of the souls are not able to hold or withstand and not be patient upon it. They do not raise their heads to this path, rather they are immersed in their own deviations. It's through this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make our hearts one and make us upright upon the truth. And this is the true advising one another with truth, as Allah mentions in the Quran, advising one another with truth and advising one another with patience, which leads to good. The third thing that Shaykh mentioned was, or the fourth thing was, al-hijbiyya, sectarianism, which is not based upon clear guidance. The way to overcome this disease is by referring back to the Quranic ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and help one another, or advise one another, or cooperate one another upon truth, upon righteousness and taqwa, and do not cooperate with one another upon sin and transgression. So this ta'awun, this cooperation must be based upon loving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake and hating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, giving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake and withholding for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily whoever loves for Allah's sake and hates for Allah's sake, gives for Allah's sake and withholds for Allah's sake, has perfected iman. And verily these qualities which are loving for Allah's sake and hating for Allah's sake are the strongest holds of the iman and the strongest shackles and knots of iman. And these are the general principles which will help us remain upright upon the truth and upright upon sincere advising, and help us remove al-hizbiyya, which is sectarianism. So this sectarianism, or which this disgusting and repulsive sectarianism, is not which is based upon the skin color or based upon a language that you speak or a position that you may hold. This is not which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends from us, nor does He desire from us. By this way, by knowing these ailments and knowing the cure of these ailments, we are able to be correctly clinging to the truth with sincerity and with truthfulness, avoiding falling short from that. And so the souls can return back to being upright upon the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This way our actions will be correct and our souls will also be put right. And the Shaykh ended by making a dua where he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all firm upon this and upright upon this. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
Jazakum Allah khair to Shaykh Ali and Brother Faraz. Inshallah, we're going to break at 4:30 Salatul Asr. Asr has been prayed at 5:45. Up until that time, we'll take a few questions if the Shaykh is willing to take them. So 10 minutes, preferably written down. I hope the brothers and sisters have got their questions written and we will deal with those on the topic, inshallah.
لو أننا أيها الإخوة قدمنا الأسئلة المتعلقة في الدرس، وإلا قد يكون يعني الانتقال إلى مسائل أخرى.
The question is asking, in a narration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it is mentioned that the safe sex is the jama'ah. What does it mean? ورد في الحديث أن الفرقة الناجية هي الجماعة. ما معنى الجماعة؟
قد جاء في قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة وستفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قالوا من يا رسول الله؟ هنا روايتان، إحداهما الرواية التي يسأل عنها الأخ السائل، وشرحها والجواب عن سؤاله إنما هو في الرواية الأخرى. ففي الرواية الأولى قالوا من هي يا رسول الله؟ قال هي الجماعة. ولكن ما هي هذه الجماعة وما هي صفتها؟ قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في الرواية الأخرى: هي التي على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي، هي التي على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. فصفة هذه الجماعة أنها ثابتة ومتمسكة بما عليه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وأصحابه. وعندما قال الجماعة أي التي لا فرقة فيها ولا تفرق يعتريها، إنما هي معتصمة وراسخة وثابتة بلا تفرق ولا افتراق. فمنها هنا قال أهل العلم واصفين أهل الحق بأنهم من ساروا على طريق أهل السنة والجماعة بفهم السلف الصالح. أهل السنة عندما قال هي التي على مثل ما أنا عليه السنة، والجماعة كما ورد في الحديث هي الجماعة، وبفهم السلف الصالح هي ما ورد في الحديث نفسه، هي التي على مثل ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. وهذا ما ذكره من قبل رب العالمين في كتابه الحكيم حيث قال وهو أصدق القائلين: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوليه ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا.
Answering the question, The Shaykh mentioned that there are two narrations. The Prophet ﷺ said that verily the Jews were divided into 71 sects, and the Christians were divided into 72 sects, and my ummah will be divided into 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire except one. And so at this point the companions asked him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? And we have two narrations how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered this questioner, and they both help us to understand who are the saved sects and what is their characteristics, what are the characteristics of this saved sect. In the first narration, as the questioner asked, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered by saying the jama'ah, or the group. And in the other narration, it explains, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains what this jama'ah is, in his saying that it is the example of that which I am upon and my today and my companions are upon. So this is the jama'ah, or the saved sect, that group that adheres to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah and upon the correct understanding of the Prophet of the companions. So this is the clear and the firm characteristics of this group, as explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The jama'ah, the group, meaning that they do not have any differences, or rather do not have any disputes or factions in between them. Rather they are clinging to the truth and firm upon this, without any divisions, without any factions. This is why the ulama, or the scholars say, use this term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah meaning coming from the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, when he was asked about the jama'ah, when he asked about that group which is the saved sect, he answered that to which I am upon, meaning the his sunnah, which is why the scholars would use the term Ahl Sunnah. And the jama'ah coming from the second hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said when he was asked who are the people who are saved, who is the saved sect, he said al jama'ah, the group. So this is the correct way, this is the way of following the Quran and the Sunnah upon the understanding of the companions of the pious predecessors. This is also made clear previous to this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's correct statement where he said, whoever contends with the Messenger of Allah after clear guidance, after the guidance has been made clear to him, and follows a path other than the path of the believers, then we shall leave him in the path that he's chosen and land him in hellfire, what's an even refuge. So here the two things are mentioned. The first thing, that leaving the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever contends with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then the second condition is also mentioned, that being following a path other than the path, or other than the way of the believers. Unfortunately, this is the last question. Can you please define the exact qualities of Hizbiya, or someone who is Hizbi? يمكنك أن تصف لنا وصفا دقيقا عن الحزبية ومن هو الحزبي.
نحن ذكرنا أن الحزبية هي كل صنيع يقوم به صاحبه بغير حق في إقامة العلاقات أو في قطع الصلات بينه وبين إخوانه المسلمين، فيقدم من حقه التأخير ويؤخر من حقه التقديم، ينكر على أهل العلم ويعظم أهل الجهل، يكون ولاؤه وبراؤه لا على الكتاب ولا على السنة ولا على منهج السلف الصالح، إنما يكون ولاؤه وبراؤه على رأي محض أو على فكر خاص أو على لون أو جنس أو لغة. الحزبية هي التي لا يحترم أصحابها العلماء، وإن احترموهم في الظاهر فهم يخالفونهم في الباطن ويغمزون بهم ويطعنون فيهم، بينما هم بالمقابل يعظمون ويعظمون ويعظمون من هم لا يستحقون أن يكونوا طلابا عند أولئك العلماء، فضلا عن أن يكونوا في أنفسهم علماء أو كبراء. والحزبي ينادي على نفسه بالحزبية بسوء عمله وفساد صنيعه وباطل أقواله وأفعاله.
Sheikh said, Al-Hizbiya or sectarianism is everything that is not based upon, or whose people is not based upon, knowledge or the truth. That group or those people who establish relationships or break off relationships not based upon guidance, not based upon the truth. So you find them establishing relationships or breaking off relationships based upon either the color of the skin, or the language that they speak, or a position that they may hold, or an idea that they may hold. So that you find them putting forward those who it is right for them not to be put forward, but to be pushed back. And they push back those whose right is to be in the limelight, in the front. You find them disputing and talking badly about the people of knowledge, and you find them exalting and praising the people who are ignorant. Their wala and their bara'a, their allegiance and their dissociation of people is based upon just their own opinions, just upon their own ideologies, and not based upon the truth or anything else. These people, they do not respect or honor the scholars. And if they do respect and honor the scholars, it is only outwardly, and inwardly, they really do not respect or honor them. Rather, they respect and honor and exalt and praise those who don't deserve to be students of these noble scholars. And a Hizbi or a person is a person who calls towards all of this through his evil actions or his false opinions.
جزاكم الله خير. جزاكم الله خير. Ikhwan, before we move, inshallah, just so we can get, before I know everyone or people are going to want to make wudu and such like, I want to indicate the brothers who are upstairs, we have over the sister side the wudu facilities there. So the brothers upstairs, there's no need for a mad rush downstairs. You can use the wudu facilities here. Just to speak about the program slightly, if you could bear with me. Unfortunately, Sheikh Mashour Hassan was unable to make it, and asked the brothers to forgive him and apologises for that. But alhamdulillah, we have one of the students of Sheikh Muqbil here, who inshallah will be replacing Sheikh Mashour's lectures. Our brother inshallah, Sheikh Yahya ibn Ali Al-Hujri from Yemen, is one of the foremost students of Sheikh Muqbil, and is here and is ready to give the lecture.